part 3 of Srila Prabhupada instructing all of you how to go straight to the spiritual world. No detours, no glitches in your GPS system, just straight to the spiritual world and take others with you. Next January, there will be an examination on this Bhagavad Gita. Papers will be sent by me to all centers, and those securing the minimum passing grade will be given the title as Bhakti Shastri. Similarly, another exam will be held on Lord Chaitanya's appearance day in February 1970, and it will be upon Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Those passing will get the title Bhakti Vaibhav. Another examination will be held sometime in 1971 on the four books Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and Nectar of Devotion. One who will pass this examination will be awarded the title Bhakti Vedanta. I want that all my spiritual sons and daughters will inherit this title of Bhakti Vedanta, so that the family transcendental diploma will continue through the generations. Those possessing the title Bhakti Vedanta will be allowed to initiate disciples. Maybe by 1975, all of my disciples will be allowed to initiate and increase the number of generations. That didn't happen, by the way. That is my program. So we should not simply publish these books for reading by outsiders, but our students must be well versed in all of our books so that we can be prepared to defeat all opposing parties in the matter of self-realization. Please accept my blessings. I beg to thank you very much for your kind feelings of appreciation of my humble service unto you. You are all helping me in pushing forward this mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, coming down by disciplic succession to my Guru Maharaj. So whatever you have spoken, it is simply due to them. I am simply the via media to receive them on behalf of my Guru Maharaj, His Divine Grace, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, Prabhupada. Now, my one request to you all is that you become fully happy by conducting your lives in Krishna consciousness, and you can know it for sure that in this way you will come with me back to home, back to Godhead. Work for Krishna. Yes, Krishna, I shall surrender unto you. That is for my benefit. This is Krishna consciousness. You must voluntarily agree, not hackneyed mechanical. Spiritual master says, like this. Right. All right. Let me do it. No. You have to understand very nicely. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. Priti, with love. When you work for Krishna with love and enthusiasm, that is your Krishna conscious life. If you think that it is hackneyed, it is troublesome, but what can I do? These people ask me to do it. I have to do it. No, that is not Krishna consciousness. You have to do it voluntarily with some pleasure. Then you know Utsahan nishchaya dhairya tatat karma pavartanat sato vrite sadhu sangha avir bhaktir pasidyati. Kind of mixed the word order around. You will find in our Upadesha Amrita, you will always you should be enthusiastic, utsahat, dhairyat, with patience, tat tat karma pavartanat, nishchayat. Nishchayat means with confidence. Quote, when I'm engaged in Krishna's business, Krishna's activities, Krishna will surely take me back to home. Krishna says, Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. I will take you back. It is stated. Krishna is not a liar. So we have to work with enthusiasm. The spiritualist's endeavor is to work whole day and night strenuously without any stop, simply for Krishna. That is spiritual life. And the materialist means the same endeavor, always trying to satisfy their personal senses. That is the difference, materialistic and spiritual. So Krishna consciousness movement means that we have to train our senses to satisfy Krishna. That's all. So long in other previous many, many thousands and millions of lives, we have simply tried to satisfy our senses, personal senses. Let this life be dedicated for satisfying Krishna's senses. That is Krishna consciousness. One life. We have several lives, and we have tried to satisfy our personal senses. Let this life, at least one life, let me try. What happens? So we are not loser. Even if we feel inconveniences by not satisfying our senses, but we are not loser. Try simply to satisfy Krishna's senses. Then it will be all right. Earn for Krishna, spend for Krishna, think for Krishna, work for Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. Fight for Krishna. Nothing to be rejected. Everything to be dovetailed with Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. So, before Bhagavad Gita, part 2, that was Prabhupada. Now we're going to go to Vrindavan again. And another very nice leela involving Jatila and Katila again. This is from the source of this is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in one book that he has written. He's titled it. Well, there's a long Sanskrit term, but these are pranks. Is that a word that you know, English? Prank? Trick? You know, children do that all the time, little pranks. So, The story begins with Radharani feeling they're always saying these bad things about Krishna. Krishna's bad, Krishna's bad, Krishna does bad things, he's a debauchee, Krishna's bad. It's so painful to hear people speak like this. And it's because of me, because of our love of Radha and Krishna. So she went into a mood of deep despair. So deep was her despair, she went into a room and it looked externally as if she had given up her life. And Jatila was great anxiety, mother-in-law. My daughter-in-law, she may be expiring. Meanwhile, in Nandagram, Krishna is omniscient. He knew what Radharani's feelings were. He was seated on the lap of his mother, Yashoda. And Krishna didn't say anything, but Krishna behaved in such a way that he groaned very loudly, "Oh!" And he fell to the ground. And Mother Yashoda asked, "Gopal, where does it hurt? What's wrong?" "So quick, get a doctor. I don't know what happened." And she put her hand on his chest and she said, "He's not breathing. He may have died. Quick, get an expert doctor." So Krishna expanded himself as an expert doctor. And just happened to be passing nearby Nanda's palace. And the assistants of Yashoda immediately, "Oh, are you a doctor?" "Oh, yes." "Are you capable of finding out what is wrong with Nanda Nandana? He may not even be alive." The doctor said, "I know how to use medicine in such a way I can bring someone back from life, back from death. Take me to the boy." So the doctor came, felt his pulse, was nodding at Mother Yashoda, and said, "Indeed, this is very serious. We have to act quickly because he may not live for long. I know a cure. I have to gather some ingredients. But one thing I must have is a bucket of water directly taken from the river Jamuna." Mother Yashoda said immediately, "We'll send some people to get some water from the river Jamuna. But it has to be very special. It's a bucket with 100 holes." A bucket with 100 holes. "Go at once, bring the Jamuna water. I'll gather the other ingredients." So somebody was sent with the bucket, several messengers, and they came back out of breath saying, it didn't work. All the water came out with 100 holes in the bucket. So he said, "It's very important. I must have the Jamuna water with bucket with 100 holes. I'll do some calculation." Said, "Yes. There's a possibility of getting the water from the river Jamuna if it's fetched by someone who is perfectly chaste. And I have here the calculation that there are two persons here in Vrindavan that fit that description, Jatila and Katila." Mother Yashoda said, "I know that Radha is in a great difficulty right now, but ask Jatila Katila to go and save my son's life." So the messengers went hurriedly to Yavat. And when the messengers came, there's this service, and the astrologer said, "You two are the only ones that can do this service." "Oh, yes. Very intelligent astrologer. I can tell. He must know what our qualification is. We'll go at once. We'll leave someone here to tend to Radha." And they went to the river Jamuna. And Jatila said to Katila, "You go first." So she put the water bucket into the river Jamuna and lifted the bucket, and all the water came out. And Katila was embarrassed. How did this happen? Because I'm perfectly chaste. And Satila said, no, never mind. I'll do. So she put the bucket in the water and pulled the bucket out of the water, and all the water came out. And Satila was terribly embarrassed. Well, how did this happen? The astrologers certainly knew. So they went back to Yavat, and the messengers went back to Nandagram and informed Nanda Maharaj and the doctor and Yasoda what happened. All the water came out of the bucket. We don't have any water for Nanda Nandana. He said, something is wrong. Let me calculate again. And he did his calculations. Said, there's one other. The daughter-in-law of Jatila. She should get the water from the river Jamuna. And everybody laughed and said, she's perfectly chaste. Come on, if that's the criterion, never will it happen. No, Mother Yasoda said, I'll go personally and ask Jatila. Please let your daughter go, even if she's ill. Please save my son's life. And when she told the news, what the astrologer said, Jatila and Katila just laughed and laughed and said, this is ridiculous. This is impossible. But if you insist, because we're such close friends, Radharani went. She put the bucket into the river Jamuna and pulled the bucket out of the river Jamuna, and all the water stayed in the bucket. And she carried the bucket upon her head all the way to Nandagram and gave to the physician. And the physician chanted mantras and sprinkled the water, and Nanda Nandana sat up feeling very nice. So from that day forward, nobody in Vrindavan ever said again that Radharani is not chaste, because the real standard of chastity is chaste to Krishna. That's the real standard of chastity. She was perfectly chaste. That's the end of the story. The doctor prank, he calls it. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Chapter 4, text 34. Most of you probably know the verse, so we can say it together. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti tekyanam jnaninas tatvatarshanah. One more time. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti tekyanam jnaninas tatvatarshanah. Translation, just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Purport. The path of spiritual realization is undoubtedly difficult. The Lord therefore advises us to approach a bona fide spiritual master in the line of disciplic succession from the Lord Himself. No one can be a bona fide spiritual master without following this principle of disciplic succession. The Lord is the original spiritual master, and a person in the disciplic succession can convey the message of the Lord as it is to his disciple. No one can be spiritually realized by manufacturing his own process, as is the fashion of the foolish pretenders. He just said the same thing in four successive sentences. It's important. Disciplic succession. The Bhagavatam 6.3.19 says, Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. The path of religion is directly enunciated by the Lord. Therefore, mental speculation or dry arguments cannot help lead one to the right path. There it is the fifth time. Not by independent study of books of knowledge can one progress in spiritual life. There's the sixth time. One has to approach a bona fide spiritual master to receive the knowledge. Such a spiritual master should be accepted in full surrender. And one should serve the spiritual master like a menial servant without false prestige. Satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. Inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for spiritual understanding. Unless there is submission and service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. One must be able to pass the test of the spiritual master, and when he sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. In this verse, both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. Not only should one hear submissively from the spiritual master, but one must also get a clear understanding from him in submission and service and inquiries. A bona fide spiritual master is by nature very kind toward the disciple. Therefore, when the student is submissive and always ready to render service, the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries becomes perfect. So to put this verse in context with the rest of what precedes here, yesterday we ended with text 33, which was part of a 10-verse series on sacrifice, which also connects with sacrifice in chapter 3 of Bhagavad Gita, yajna vai Vishnu, sacrifice unto Vishnu to relieve one from the material entanglement, that is, we're spirit souls, we're involved in matter, and when you do things in the material field, you become entangled or implicated in the reactions of work, discussed in chapter 3. There's bondage for work. So release from the bondage of work is through the principle of sacrifice. And then there are types of sacrifice described in this chapter 4. But the principle is, what is sacrifice we were discussing? So sacrifice is rendering sacred, rendering unto Vishnu that which is Vishnu's. As we heard Srila Prabhupada explaining in this section that I read, the satisfaction of the senses of the Supreme. There's a very essential verse from Narada Pancharatra, a definition of bhakti. Sarvapadi Vinirmbuktam Tatvara Traina Nirmalam Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam. You know that one? Bhaktir Uchite. It is said that bhakti is Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam. Using our senses in the service of the master of the senses, Rishikesha. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam. Bhaktir Uchite. But there's something that precedes that. Sarva Upadi Vinir Muktam. When one is muktam, one is freed or liberated from upadis or designations of the body. Think identifying oneself in terms of the body type. Whatever different body types there are. or I'm a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra. So Lord Chaitanya said, Kiva Vipra, Kiva Nyasi, Shudra, Kene Noi. I'm not any of these upadis. And going back to those previous verses of this chapter, the principle of sacrifice is to help relieve one from the material conception or bodily conception to the spiritual conception or transcendental conception of self, self-realization. Not just trim and slim and happy and, you know, less stress and all that, but realization of the self. And then from realization, that's transcendental knowledge. And then when one is situated in knowledge, the previous verse describes, then the sacrifice is more effective. The consciousness behind the sacrifice being closer to the spiritual conception, it becomes more effective. The same act. Because the consciousness is more freed or liberated from the bodily conception. And that awakens or makes one receptive for transcendental knowledge. So now this verse is, how does one receive that transcendental knowledge? Or from what source? Of course, from the super soul within. Sarvashachaham riddhi sannivishto matak smithir gyanam apohanam cha. Krishna is situated in the heart and he gives gyanam. He gives knowledge, but he also gives forgetfulness. He gives remembrance. He's the source of guiding our consciousness. So it can come from within, but can also come from without, or the external manifestation of super soul in the form of a tattvadarshi. Tattvadarshi means tattva, darshi, seer of the truth. Tattva, darshi, like darshan. Seer of the truth, tattvadarshi. The one who is a tattva, find a tattvadarshi. That's your assignment. It's your homework assignment from Krishna. Find a tattvadarshi, one who sees the truth. And then what do you do once you find a tattvadarshi? Three things. Tadvidhi, it means, tad is a pronoun. That person who, vidhi, vid means to know. That person who wants to know transcendental knowledge, find a tattvadarshi and then three things. Tadvidhi, pranipat, prashna, and seva. Pranipat, submission. Prashna, ask questions. Or be inquisitive to know. And then seva is render service. So let's go through those as Prabhupada does. Submission. As opposed to, what is submission? Well, what it's not is challenging or absurd inquiries. Like one person asked Prabhupada, Swamiji, the challenging question. Swamiji, I heard that one who becomes a spiritual master becomes the knower of all things. How many windows are there in the Empire State Building? And Prabhupada, without hesitating a moment, said, how many drops of water are there in a mirage? Who becomes a spiritual master or tattvadarshi, it's not that they know, that they're the knower of trivia. Rather, they know what is needed to be known to reach the spiritual kingdom. They know what the obstacles are. They know the path. They know the difficulties and the frailties of this human form of life, and they know how to proceed from here to there. Because Krishna gives that understanding. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upiyanti te. Krishna gives the intelligence how to come to him. So they know that. And they know what leads to Krishna, what leads away from Krishna. So they know that which is essential. And from that, so many other things they know, because Krishna is the source of all things. So, submission, back again, what does it mean? It's a mood. It's not blind submission, nor absurd inquiries. It's not those things. It's a mood of respect, holding with some regard, with some esteem, basic cultural respect towards one who knows, a tattvadarshi, one who knows the truth. And then, so that's the mood, and then is prashna. And when one raises a question, it's not that one is, you're just supposed to believe, or you get banged on the head. That's not right. One should, just as Arjuna is doing in Bhagavad Gita, he's asking Krishna's questions, Krishna's giving answers, he's not clear, so he asks for clarification. First you say this, and then you say that, and it sounds like they're contradictions. Can you please explain? You say that knowledge is better than fruitive work, and then you ask me to do fruitive work. At least it looks like to me, but ghastly warfare, fruitive work. You said knowledge is better, so please explain. So asking for clarification is absolutely appropriate. That's part of prashna. Then you go back to pranipat. It's submission, with submission and regard and respect, not a challenging spirit or absurd inquiries. But I wish to know. And then you present the question and get clarification. And as you get clarification, then you apply it. That's what seva. That's one, certainly a very important dimension of seva. Practical application. Not just, oh, that's very interesting. Okay, see you later. That's just curiosity. It's not seva. Krishna says there are four types of pious people that render devotional service unto me. And one of them is just, they're curious. We've all had that experience. People ask us, could you tell me something about the Hare Krishna movement? Because I get it all the time, because I travel like this, and people come up and say, commonly in the West, they say, are you a Buddhist monk? And I say, no, I'm a Krishna monk. And they go, oh, like as if they know what that is. But then they say, may I ask another question? Do you mind? No, go right ahead. What are the basic things that you believe in? Or do you believe in reincarnation or something, you know, something? And I say whatever I say. They go, oh, that's very nice. And then they turn their attention to something else. That kind of curiosity. No intent to, you know, do anything with that information. Just information. Oh, I'm curious. What's that one? Oh, okay. And on to the next thing, and to the next thing. So, not like that. When some understanding comes, then there's some service to be done. You bring that understanding within, and you act accordingly. Your heart becomes transformed, and the direction, there's a very nice definition in Canto 2 Bhagavatam of intelligence. Prabhupada calls it the form direction of the Lord. That's cool, huh? Form direction of the Lord. That's intelligence. So if one's intelligence is muddled, then I head in the wrong direction. But if I get proper knowledge and properly cleansed intelligence, one who studies the sacred conversation is worshiping me with their intelligence, Krishna says. So when your intelligence becomes purified, then the form direction moves you differently than material intelligence. That's seva. Seva includes also the mood, not just the behavior. The mood. Let's take a simple example. Someone is meets a devotee, and they find out about how to eat properly. So they become a vegetarian. And then they find out, whoops, it's not just become vegetarian, but I have to offer my food to Krishna. So they offered their food to Krishna in a mechanical fashion. It's just a behavior. Without the devotion within that offering, is Krishna obliged? Even if it's vegetarian. Krishna accepts the love and devotion with which something is offered. Not just the something. He doesn't eat something. He's got a zillion somethings. He produces all the zillion somethings. They're his. But he accepts the love and devotion. And if the love and devotion is there, even something very simple, belief, some water, a flower or fruit, with devotion, when it's offered, Krishna accepts. So then one needs to learn, the seva is to learn the principle of devotion. But where are you going to learn the principle of devotion unless from one who's carrying devotion? Meaning, you can't receive devotion from a non-devotee. I'll say the same thing. You will not get a devotional understanding from Bhagavad Gita unless you hear from a devotee. You won't understand the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita properly unless you receive from a devotee. Probably many of us in this room, before we read Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, we read some other Bhagavad Gita or a bunch of other Bhagavad Gitas. I can say from my own experience, the first time I received Bhagavad Gita, I didn't know what it was. It's just a short story. A philosophy professor was a poet. We developed a friendship and we were speaking about poetry, you know, out of class and other things and so many things. He was a Taoist. He was explaining Taoism and this, and so we had a little relationship going on. So one day he gave me a Bhagavad Gita, and I thought, oh, this is a poetry book. And I started reading it, and I didn't understand it. And someone else saw me carrying it around and said, oh, I've got one of those, but it's different. He said, here, you take it. So it's two different translations of Bhagavad Gita. I thought, So I went to the library, university library, and there were five other translations of Bhagavad Gita. So I checked them all out. I read seven translations of Bhagavad Gita, and I came to two conclusions. One is, I don't understand it. And the other was, it's not a book of poetry. It's something very deep and profound, and I don't understand it. And some time passed, and I met Bhurijan. Well, I knew Bhurijan because he was a classmate. But he gave me a Back to Godhead magazine. And I didn't know what Back to Godhead magazine was. And I was carrying it around, and people said, oh, you're into that? I said, what? That! What's that? I don't know. What do you mean by that? I said, oh, you'll find out. Anyway, so I read the Back to Godhead magazine because they were saying, you know, you're into that? And then from that I found out there's Bhagavad Gita as it is. And when I started reading Bhagavad Gita as it is, it was really easy to understand. And I was wondering, why is this really easy to understand? And the other ones, all seven of them, couldn't understand them at all. And then I realized it's because this is from realization and the other is from scholarship and speculation. It's useless. You can't enter into Bhagavad Gita that way. And here's the verse where Krishna says you can't. And Prabhupada saying it 7 times in the purport. Useless. Without disciplic succession, without the association of a devotee, you can't get the message. You read it as many times as you like. Become a scholar and make your own translation. Become a part of a scholar team. 5 guys get their PhD in Sanskrit, make a translation. And they're not going to understand it. Because it's not how it's to be understood. It's right in the text itself. Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavanyas chasmi tatvataha. There it is again. Tatvataha. Tatvadarshi. In truth, one can understand Krishna only through devotion. So the devotion has to be in this descending disciplic succession. So it's actually 4 things that are being said. Descending, sometimes people ask this question. So you can have a nice answer ready for them when they ask the question. How do I find who is my spiritual master? They sometimes ask that. So first of all, disciplic succession, it's imperative. 7 times over. Imperative, there's not an option. That's a must. Then, here are these 3 things. You go to a person that, in your best estimation, is a they're on the path to Krishna. I may not, as a new person, have the qualification to know who's a tatvadarshi and who isn't. That's another something that I learned as a new devotee. Like 3 weeks into the Hare Krishna movement, I learned I don't have the qualification to understand who is advanced and who's not advanced. Because I had this deep respect for someone who was, I thought, was way up there, really advanced. And he was doing all this service, and he was so knowledgeable in the scripture, and he was very regulated in his sadhana, and after 3 weeks' time, he left. I said, whoa, whiplash, what happened? What happened? I guess I don't really have the qualification to know who's a tatvadarshi. But at least someone who's on the path to Krishna, a strict follower, Prabhupada says. And then these 3 things. Submission, inquiry, and service. And in that combination, something happens. If there's a qualified person, something happens. When one acts in knowledge, one's faith increases. Make sense? Use a worldly example. You got some illness. You don't know what the illness is, and you want to find out what's the diagnosis and what's the medicine. So start looking for a good doctor. Good luck. Try to find a good doctor. You ask around, who's good in this kind of medicine? Say maybe an Ayurvedic doctor. This is something that I did. I came to India with, you know, a recommendation of 4 different Ayurvedic doctors, and I spent some time with each of the 4 Ayurvedic doctors. And one of them in particular, both his diagnosis was amazing, and I saw that the results were there. He showed me. He was the charts of people that had some difficulty and anyway. So there was initially some recommendation, but then I received some, okay, here's the diet you should follow, the medicine you should take, and you need a panchakarma treatment. And so I went through that, and because I followed what was said, there was some result, because there was knowledge and I acted in knowledge, my faith increased. Wow, something happened. Or take it in a spiritual context. You hear a bunch of things. And out of those bunch of things, there's something that really resonates. It doesn't matter what stage of spiritual life you're in. You hear many things, and something very, very much resonates. Then you act in knowledge. You take it and you apply it. If you sincerely apply something that's genuine, something's going to happen. Whoa. It works. It's powerful. So then it increases your faith, so you go back to hear from that source where you heard with, you know, little bigger ears this time. And you're more open heart. And you hear again, and something resonates. Oh, let me apply it. That's the seva part. So, pranipat, prashna, and seva. Upadekshanti, te ganam, gyaninas tattva darshanaha. What happens, according to the verse, is that self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. They have the goods they can deliver because they've gone through that process themselves. And they want to deliver, but that can be delivered unto the heart of someone that's, whose heart is open. Then they can deliver. And they're happy to deliver. They can try to deliver even when the heart's closed, but nothing goes in. So the heart has to open. And that's the method of making the heart open, ready to receive. And it goes back to the previous section, the sacrifice of possessions. Preliminarily, there has to be some willingness to be a little selfless, a little bit at least, that which Krishna has given you, endowed you with, you use in for the benefit of others, not just yourself. And then awakens the capacity for the spiritual conception and transcendental knowledge. Now comes that tattvadarshi person, and now here's how I behave with that tattvadarshi person, and then the tattvadarshi is able to transmit directly transcendental knowledge. They can give you dibhyagyan is the term that's used. One of the terms that's used in the Vedas. Transcendental knowledge, realized knowledge. They can give it to you. Just ask. But ask with a mood of service. But then there's some work that I have to do on my side. Oh, that's no fun. I just want it given to me. There's something we have to do on our side. Orient our heart properly. Have the proper mood. Ask the proper questions and be ready to carry out what we receive. That's how the process works. To be continued tomorrow. 7:30. Any questions? Should we run downstairs and go to... this evening starts 5 minutes. Any questions? Yes. Microphone.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, in Kartik month, what does it mean by Bhishma Panchak?
In Kartik month, what is what?
Bhishma Panchak. Bhishma Panchak.
What does it have to do with the class that we just had?
I have doubt. I have read in books, so that's in.
You like reading books?
Yeah.
Steve, do you have a question or something that we discussed this evening?
No.
So we'll discuss later. Someone else?
Maharaj, Krishna mentions in the seventh chapter, Krishna also mentions that even those who approach the demigods, they look for some result.
Yes.
And their faith increases in that particular demigod. Now, I just wanted a clarification, how to distinguish between the phenomena that you were saying in the class, that you approach a spiritual master, you try to apply what he says, and that something resonates and your faith increases.
Because the difference is that the bona fide spiritual master is their the message that they deliver is not how to get something on the material plane, but how to become detached from things of the material plane and enter into the spiritual realm. And one can experience that. And yes, what you're saying is correct, that commonly, although the indication is come to the spiritual plane and let go of the material plane, the standard that persons that inspires them to go further is, yeah, that was very nice, and also some of the things that I want to this world, they're also part of the package. But directly, in response to your question, the difference is the instruction of the spiritual master is to come to the absolute realm, the absolute plane. And one can experience leaving the toxic atmosphere of the material realm and entering into the transcendental realm by following the instructions of the spiritual master. So that's a different kind of faith than I got what I wanted on the material plane. Because our idea, naturally, when we think of what is spiritual life, we think of it, we don't have any opportunity to think otherwise. We think in terms of what material happiness is. But it's not the same. When one can experience the difference of a happiness that's not material through properly following the spiritual master's instructions. Material fever diminishes, in other words. The material disease becomes cured, and the natural condition becomes restored. That kind of faith. Okay, we did our 5 minutes. Let's go for Dhammadharastakam prayers. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai.